I figured since the rapture's happening tomorrow at 2:15 or sooner, we should really preach out of Zephaniah and just cover some ground here in case somebody's here and they're not going to go in the rapture. If you're going to miss the rapture, it's because you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And you don't want to do that. We'll talk a little bit about that today at Zephaniah. Let's go ahead and begin in verse number 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men. They shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nations not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, to put this in context, this is post-rapture stuff that's going on here. And when you read about the day of the Lord, you have to understand that can mean a couple different things. When you're talking about the day of the Lord, sometimes it means a day where he comes and judges exact judgment. But sometimes when you look at the day of the Lord, it would be talking from a time frame, a period of history, or history to come, if you will, his story. You know, you hear people say all the time, well, back in my day, we're talking about back when a certain period of time in their youth or when they're younger. Back in my day, men were men and women were women, amen? And if you had confusion about that, you hid it. You didn't tell anybody about it. We didn't hide it because we weren't confused, amen? But back in my day, we talk about things like that. Back in my day, we could leave the doors unlocked at night at the house and leave the keys in the car. You didn't lose your car keys because they're always in the car, amen? You went to the store, come back out, your keys were in the car. You got home at night, you just left your keys in the car. And back in my day, that's the way it was. And very seldom, back in my day, back in the day, do we have problems like we have today. Right now, you can't even leave your car, you know what I mean? But they'll take you without the keys. But that's what we're talking about back in my day. We're talking about a time frame. And we're looking at a lot of this stuff in Zephaniah and different places in the Bible. You look at the day of the Lord, you know the day of the Lord is going to start with a judgment, go all the way through, in the broad sense, it's going to go all the way through a thousand-year reign to another judgment. So that's when you're looking at the day of the Lord. Oftentimes you're looking at a little over a thousand-year period where God's going to come back in the flesh. And boy, he's going to exact some judgment, and he's going to be the exact judgment for a thousand years, amen? Rule and reign on the throne of David, and then he's going to exact some more judgment. But I want to look at some things in Zephaniah, by the grace of God here, and first in 14 and 15, let's look at 14. It says, the great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Then it talks about the day of the wrath in 15. I want to see their warning. God has given man a warning that the day of the Lord is near. You know what? We talk about the rapture, and you're supposed to live like the rapture's imminent. Like it could happen any second, because it could happen any second. Amen? Well, you know what he's telling men? He said the day of the Lord is near. You should live, if you're lost, you should live like the day of the Lord is near, like judgment is coming. And that's what the problem with the world is. They want to push it off and pretend like it's not going to happen and try to explain God away and pretend God away and make up fairy tales and fables about how the earth come into existence from nothing, and you know, the monkeys translated into this, or moved, you know, evolved into that, or whatever, pretend like there's no God because they don't want to admit that the day of the Lord is coming. But God's given a clear warning. That day is coming. And praise God, if you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're getting out of here. Amen. Then you got that 7-year time of Jacob's troubles, that time appointed to Daniel's people, that great tribulation coming up where he's going to turn the remnant of the Jews back to him, and then he's going to come back literally, physically, and take this thing over, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. But he's warning man, the day of the Lord is coming. You know what he's telling them in the Old Testament? The day of the Lord's coming. Judgment is coming. The warning. Verse 17, over here in 17, it says, and I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured upon out. Be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. So he's telling them that the day of the Lord's coming, and he's telling them that people are going to walk like blind men. What's going on today? I mean, people are walking around like blind men. It's going to get even worse. People are walking around like blind men, like they can't see what's going on. And we talked about this in Sunday school. We talked about the fact that John, in the book of Revelation, being a type of the church, the beloved, was given this advanced revelation in Revelation and told about these things that were going to come. And John, being a type of church, is telling you that you today can know what John knew. You know what John knew? John knew in Revelation 4 that he went to heaven. He was raptured up. He was caught up into heaven. We're going to be caught up into heaven. And John knew at 5 and 6, he's looking into heaven, and in 6 through like 18, he's looking at a time appointed into Daniel's people. He's looking at that tribulation period. And boy, you get over there and he's looking at a time of judgment. The Lord comes back and he fights the battle of Armageddon, which doesn't take long for the Lord. And you know, the blood's running bridle deep and the horses, and he defeats the beast of the false prophet, casts him into the lake of fire, binds the devil for 1,000 years, and rules and reigns with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. John's seen that. You know, the world don't see that. You look what the world's talking about. Even the people that don't believe in God, you know what they're talking about? Is the end of the world coming? They want to talk about Armageddon. They don't even know what Armageddon is. They think it's a Bruce Willis movie. Amen? They think it is. They think Jesus Christ is a Mel Gibson movie. But you know what? Jesus Christ wasn't drugged to Calvary. He went to Calvary on his own free will. And I'm going to tell you something. He's not still on a cross. They put him in the ground. He's not still on the ground. He come out of the ground because he is God. And you don't get your spirituality from Hollywood. Get saved if you're lost, and get you a Bible, get you a King James Bible, open that thing up, pray over it, and read it. Come to church on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night, and we'll do the best we can to expose what it says, amen. Exposition. What was it old Jack Hiles used to say? I can't remember exactly what he said. I'll exegete it, you execute it, amen. That's the thing. It's not the exegeted part we're having trouble with. We can exegete some of it. We understand we're getting out of here. It's the execute part we have trouble with. And that's living like we're supposed to live, because this flesh is wicked, and this flesh is going to have to be changed, and it's going to be changed pretty soon. Amen. But he gives them this warning. He talks about their walk. He talks about them walking as blind men. And that's what the world does today. It's going to get even worse. Remember he said he's going to send a strong delusion? There's going to be a point where people can't even get right with God. But a remnant of God's chosen people, by the way, that God is not through with, he's going to bring him through that. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. He's talking to the Jews about bringing them through that time of tribulation. And either some of them will be beheaded for the cause of Christ, and some of them will be brought into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But there it is, the warning, the walk. Look at verse 18. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Isn't that something? Their warning, their walk, their wealth. Their money's not going to save them. Bill Gates, George Soros, Tom Hanks, Oprah Winfrey, all these perverted people up there in Hollywood that are getting all this stuff exposed right now, all that stuff that's going on, all the money they've got. Some of them are finding out right now their money can't save them from the wrath of the justice system. They've crossed the wrong people or whatever, and they're not playing the game the way they wanted to play, so they're kicking them under the bus. They're sacrificing them so they keep going playing their dirty games or whatever they're doing up there in that mess up there. But you know what? No matter how much money they have, no matter how much power they have, their money will not save them from the wrath of God. It talks about the kings and the great men trying to hide, begging the rocks to fall on them when the judgment of God starts falling. If their silver and gold, it's not going to save them. It's not going to save them. Your 22 ammo is not going to save you. Stockpiling Marine military rations is not going to save you. Jesus Christ is going to save you. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he goes, well, we let this country go to hell, and we're going to have to take it back. I said, no, Jesus Christ is going to fix it. It's just going to spiral out of control until he gets back. How do I know that? It's not because I watch CNN. I don't watch it. It's because I have a Bible. And you can watch the Bible come true every day. I mean, it's just right on the money. Right on the money. Like clockwork. And we were talking about that in Sunday school. We're talking about Laodicea, where it's all human rights and my rights and me. And that's all they talk about. That's all they talk about. We want to be right. We want to help the blacks. We want to help the women. We want to help this. We want to help that. And the next thing you know, you got a man that outweighs a woman by 100 pounds wanting to box a woman or wanting to play soccer with a woman or do whatever with a woman. They're saying, well, if he wants to be a woman today, he can be a woman. Because it's about his feelings and what he wants. Me. That's ridiculous. But you can see the Bible coming true. It's Laodicea. It's the last days. It's all about what people feel and what they want. Well, they just don't feel like the police should have shot that man that was shooting at them. It hurt their feelings. I like what Sheriff Judd or whatever his name down in Florida said. He goes, look, here's what it is. I know you people are going to be upset. That guy shot at us. We shot at him. It's over. He said, but here's the thing. When you shoot at our police officers in our county, we are going to shoot back at you a lot. He said, a lot. Another sheriff, I can't remember where he was at, he said, he went on the news broadcast and they were interviewing him and he said, well, in our county, here's the way it works. Somebody breaks into your house, shoot them. Shoot them until they don't move. He goes, you save the taxpayers a lot of money and they never reoffend. And people were upset about that. You know what? Their crime rate dropped overnight. The law enforcement's telling people, hey, you've got a right to be safe in your own home. That should be just the spinal cord reflex, to know that you should be able to be safe in your own home. Amen? Some states is not so. I lived in a state for a while that wasn't so, where you had the responsibility to retreat in your own house. Ill-annoying, isn't it? Yeah. But, you know, he comes on there and says that, puts things back in some kind of a factual, realistic context, and things start to go right again. The problem with the world is nobody wants to look at things factually and correctly and biblically. And you know, say, so what about biblically and about guns? Well, you have a right to defend yourself and your family. God gave you that right. Amen. What you don't have a right to do is build a military and try to overthrow the government. Jesus Christ can do that. Amen. Amen. Let's just get this thing straight. But you have a right to self-defense. He said, you told the disciples, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. Amen. But this is a sword. If you don't have a Bible, sell something and buy one. Amen. There's your sword. I ain't against firearms. Don't go out and say the preacher's against firearms. He's a liberal. I ain't no liberal. I ain't against firearms. I think everybody have two for each hand. Amen. And one for your foot. I don't know. Zephaniah, he's warning them. He's talking about their, giving them a warning, talking about their walk, talking about their wealth. They cannot hide from God. Their money's not going to save them. They won't be able to, hey, look. Probably, not all, but probably most judges can be bought. Probably most. Probably all of them can be threatened into doing something they don't believe in doing. But they won't be able to play that game with Jesus Christ. They won't be able to do it. They won't be able to go to the throne of God and say, hey, look, if you don't do it our way, we're going to do this. They won't be able to say to Jesus Christ, hey, we've got this on you, and we'll tell somebody. Because they don't have anything on him. They've already tried. He's sinless and perfect. He's God, holy and righteous. They won't be able to go up to him and say, well, Lord, if you'll just, like the devil said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this. They won't be able to go to Jesus Christ and say, hey, you know what? I've been saving up this gold. It's hidden under the Vatican. And I'll tell you what, you can have a big chunk of it if you'll just go our way. You know what he'll say? Thy money perish with thee. Amen. You know what else he'll say? My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He has street of gold so pure you can see through it. Away with you. Amen. Perfect judgment's coming by the perfect judge. Their wealth won't save them. Chapter number 2, verse 1, it says, gather yourselves together Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. You know what they're gathering together? You know what God's going to let them do? He's going to let them form a group like the United Nations. Amen. He's going to let them unite. And you know why he's going to let them do that? It's just going to be easier to smoke them all at one time. Not that he would have any trouble anyway, but he's going to show his power all at one time. He's going to say, all right, get together. You know, they're up there talking about beating your swords into plowshares, peace, 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 while they're starting wars every day. The UN, by the way. And they're in the middle of all this mess all the time. They like money. They like war because it produces money. They like power. They like war because it produces power for them here on this earth. And, you know, they're gonna gather together, and they're finally, boy, they're going to get together, and they're going to think they're going to whoop Jesus Christ and whoop, you know, destroy Jerusalem and finally get rid of the Jews. And Jesus Christ can come back on that white horse and just wipe them out. But there are going to be some folks left in that thousand-year reign. They'll be born just like they're being born now. There are going to be people that, guess what they're going to do? They're going to unite again. He's going to let them have United Nations Part 2. And he's going to say, well, you didn't learn the first time. Let me show you something. And they're going to gather together at the end of the thousand-year reign, after the devil's loose. He's going to get them all together, because he's got them together now, by the way. He's going to get them all together, and they're going to be against the holy city and God's precious people over there. And then he's going to say, all right, you didn't learn the first time when the blood was running bridle deep. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send fire down and instantly devour you. Let them join together against God. Just make sure you're on the right side now, amen? On Jesus' side. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The wicked leadership, they all get together, they're wicked. And you know something, when the Bible talks about kings and kingdoms, do you understand that it doesn't have to be King Biden or King Trump or King Putin or whatever? This is a spiritual thing. Spiritually, there are kings over these, have dominions over these places right now. Spiritually speaking, just like Herod was used of the devil, and on down the road, and Barack, different presidents we've had were used of the devil, and probably most of them were used of the devil to some extent, some of them just greater. You know, these kingdoms, they're spiritual principalities. They might not be called a king right now, but there's spiritual kingdoms right now in place. And when we get out of here, it's going to be on. It's going to be on. So, the wicked leadership, he gives them a warning, talks about their walk, warns them and says, your wealth can't save you, your money can't buy your way out of this. And boy, it's not going to be like it is now. But look at their window of opportunity. Before the decree bring forth, before the day passes the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, there's a window of opportunity for people to get right. Isn't God merciful? He knows. Before the people running the United Nations are even born, he knows they're going to turn against him. He knows he's going to allow it. He knows they're going to be against Israel. Can you see it forming? I mean, we know behind the scenes, 99% of the world's against them now. But they're slowly coming out from behind the curtain and saying, look, Israel's in the wrong. Israel's in the wrong because they hate God. And they'll see it the devil's way because they hate God. But he knows, and he's allowing all this stuff to happen, but he's already won. I've read the book of Revelation. You know, the book of Revelation, even though some of this stuff is future, it's already done. God spoke it. It's done. God's not in time. We're living in a time frame that God doesn't exist in. He does, but he's not bound by it. When you read Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 22, you can take it to the bank. It's already done. When God says it, it's done. Amen. That's not just a prophecy that might happen. That's a prophecy that in God's mind has already happened. How else could he give you the end if he didn't know the end? Amen. Aren't you glad you have a Bible? Wouldn't it be terrible to have to live by Charles Darwin's writing? Or live by a psychology book? Or a philosopher's book? Descartes or some bozo? I think, therefore I am. What? I don't think you are. Amen. I think you're about as real as Bigfoot. Amen. These people are, because they've left the truth. They left the truth, and I'm glad we have an anchor, and that anchor is the Word of God. Our anchor is Jesus Christ. Our anchor is the Bible. We don't have to look around and go, well, I wonder why that monkey hadn't turned into a person yet. Amen. I ask people all the time, they go, well, maybe evolution is true. I go, why didn't the rest of the monkeys turn into people? Are they smarter than the rest of the monkeys? And say, I don't want to be like those people. I just refuse to change. Well, I don't know about that. I was talking to a guy yesterday. I said, hand him a tract, talking about the Lord, and he looked like, I don't know what to believe. And I said, you surely don't believe we come from monkeys, do you? He said, well, I don't necessarily believe we come from monkeys, but I don't know what to believe. That's honest. How could you know what to believe without a Bible? You got people telling you 10 different things all the time. We come from a Big Bang. Maybe it wasn't a Big Bang. Maybe we're seeded here from aliens. Maybe we just accidentally, maybe we've always been here. Maybe the aliens have always been. I mean, they come up with all this stuff. The guy said, I really don't know what to think. And I said, well, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I said, that's where I start. And I said, after that, read that tract when you get home. And make sure you save. He said, all right, thanks. Stuck in his pocket. But people are confused. But they have a window of opportunity. What I'm saying is, what I want you to get from this today is, if you're here today, the Bible says for all of sin to come short of the glory of God, you're a sinner. And Jesus Christ died for your sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. He's offering it to you for free. He paid the whole price for it. And that Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today, you have a window of opportunity. And that opportunity is to realize you're a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ died, shed his blood, rose again, and he did it for you. And to bow your head and call out to Christ and say, Lord, forgive me and save me. I'm trusting you and you alone. Your own words the best way you know how. Lord, I don't want to die and go to hell. I know you paid my sin debt. Please forgive me and save me. Make it personal. See, that window of opportunity is closing because the church is leaving. The saved folks are leaving. And that window of opportunity is going to be gone. It's going to be a different place after this, after the rapture. So I'm telling you to take advantage, please. I'm begging you to take advantage of that window of opportunity and call on Christ today if you've never done that before. But he's given the world a window of opportunity, even though he knew before their conception, before the inception of the United Nations, before they ever got together, before they ever started their devious little processes, before all that stuff happened, he knew what they were going to do, and he's still giving them a window of opportunity. You know why? He's long-suffering and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what he wants from the president of Africa? Get saved. You know what he wants for Putin? Get saved. You know what he wants for Biden? Get saved. You know what he wants for Kamala Harris? He wants her to get saved. You know what he wants for every Republican, every Democrat, every conservative, liberal, independent, Green Party, whatever he wants them to all? Get saved. He's not up there in heaven scratching his head going, man, I can't wait. I hope Trump gets in. He's thinking, I want them to get saved. Amen. Whether Trump gets in or not, God's not going to break a sweat. He's not going to lose a night's sleep. He's not going to sit around scratching his head going, now what do I do? Biden got in again. And if he does, he won't be surprised. I'll tell you what. God knows the vote count before they even cheat it. Amen. He's ahead of them. So it doesn't matter what matters to God and what matters should matter to us. People getting saved. Because see, that window of opportunity is closing. And once it's closed, it's game on for the devil. Once that window closed, once God calls his church out, hopefully soon, the devil is going to take this world over for a while. And he's going to give a false sense of peace for a while. And it's just going to be a giant carnival, a giant flesh fest of people doing what they want. He's going to say, everything's all right, everybody's included, everything's good, as long as you worship me. That's what the devil's going to say. You know what? He's saying that already. Everything's good. Mark your body up, stick holes here, put loops here, put hoops there, put nose piercings here, put a chain there, put a plate in your lip, you know, whatever you want to do, and do whatever you want, and everything's good. You know, if you want to be a boy, be a boy. If you want to be a girl, do whatever you want as long as you worship me, the devil says. You know what God says? Do it the way I said to do it. And the devil's got all these people bound in sin. And Jesus Christ said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I love that word, make you, those words. There's nothing like King James Bible. I've said it before. If you have a bird in a bird cage and you open the door, you set him free, but he don't have to leave. But see, when you get saved, he takes you and places you out of the bird cage into freedom. He takes you out of sin and puts you in Christ. He doesn't just set you free, so maybe you can get free, or maybe not because the door's open. He makes you free because he puts you in the one that paid the price for you to be free. You're in Christ. Well, if you're here today and you're not in Christ, you need to get saved. Why? Because judgment's coming. Blindness is coming. Strong delusion. And no amount of money or power or wealth other than Jesus Christ can save you. The wicked leadership of this world, they're going to have their way. The devil's going to use them like pawns on a chessboard. The window of opportunity you have now to get right is closing. Look at verse 3 of chapter number 2. Seek ye the Lord. We'll talk about their way. The way is just seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. It's that simple right now today before the rapture. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Look at the wise. Let's read all of verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Now I understand what he's talking about here. He's talking about saving some people in the future. But what he's telling you today, if you're wise, you'll seek the Lord. You call out to him and say, Lord, forgive me and save me. Don't let me die and go to hell. I'm trusting you. I know you died for me, Lord. I know you shed your blood for me. I know you're the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, forgive me and save me. Make it personal. I'll tell you what, if you don't get saved and you're standing at the white throne judgment, it's going to be real personal. Right before he casts you in the lake of fire to burn forever. But you get saved today. But that window of opportunity is closing. Wise men. The wise. If you're wise today, you trust Christ. Because judgment's coming. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he was buying a workbench, and he was talking about building this shed. And I said, how big is your shed? And he said, it was 40 by 32. It's a big shed. You know, small outbuilding, big shed. I said, good night, that's big. He said, yeah. Started talking to him about the Lord, and he did the thing. I've seen it so many times, I get carpal tunnel watching it, holding the track up, sticking in his pocket. Nice guy. And I'm not saying anything against the guy. I'm talking about people. Really nice guy. He served his country in law enforcement, probably in the military. I know he's in law enforcement. Just a really nice guy. Probably in his 50s, maybe close to 60. It's hard to tell sometimes, but somewhere between 50 and 60. And talking about the Lord, and he folds that track up, sticks in his pocket, and start talking to him about salvation and knowing you can go to heaven. And boy, be ready. You need to be ready. You don't have a promise tomorrow on this earth. And he's talking about that shed and talking about that shed. And all I could think about as he drove off was the rich man in the Bible that was building bigger barns. And the Lord telling him, thou fool, tonight, or today, I can't remember what it was, that thou shalt be required of thee. And I often wonder if that man or that woman that folds that track up, sticks it in their pocket to forget about it, and they go on about their life, I often wonder how much of that life they had left and whether that was the last warning they were getting. That's scary. That gives me chills. It really convicts me of not witnessing enough, too. But it's just a humbling, kind of a chilling thought that God might use us to give somebody their very last warning. I'm going to put these in my shed. I'm going to do this. I got the concrete secured. I'm going to do this. I may need more of them. I got this and I got that. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And he could go to bed, draw his last breath that night, wake up in hell. But there's a window of opportunity. And our job is to give people the truth so they can take advantage of that window. That window's closing. I'm glad I'm saved, because I'll tell you what, I'm just a big enough knucklehead to die and go to hell if somebody wouldn't explain it to me real clear. But it's crystal clear. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'm begging you to call on Christ before it's too late. Call on Christ before it's too late. Wise men. Remember, the wise men were looking for baby Jesus? Wise men still seek Jesus Christ today. If you're here today and you have any wisdom in you at all, you call on Christ to get saved before that window's closed. It's closing. It's closing. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming. Judgment is coming. Salvation is already here. It's through Jesus Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute.